Good morning, folks. It is Wednesday, January 7th, already making our way through the first 7 days of the new year, 2026. We've got a great show lined up for you today. In the 12 o'clock hour, we'll visit with Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc. We've got a lot of great things to talk about. And in the back half of that hour, we'll have Seth Knutson, who is the CEO of the Downtown Development District. And we'll talk about repairs on Canal Street, what's going on in downtown, the growth and the vision for his organization relative to development of same. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll go live out to the training facility for the New Orleans Saints, and we'll hear from Mickey Loomis, Saints general manager, as well as Kellen Moore, the Saints head coach, year in review, and about the future and what they're thinking about looking forward. And right now, Kelly Schultz with New Orleans & Company joins us. She is the Senior VP of Communications and PR with New Orleans & Company to talk about the year in review of 2025 and what's coming up in 2026. But more importantly, a most recent announcement with Harry Connick Jr. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell. Happy New Year. Thanks for having me today.
Saint.
And yes, we do have exciting breaking news.
Yeah, so tell us about it.
So, you know, we've been involved with Rockin' 1000, which is coming to the Caesars Superdome on January 31st. For the first time ever in the USA, this concert of 1,000 musicians is going to happen. And just today, we were thrilled to be able to announce that Harry Connick Jr. is coming home to New Orleans to be part of this show. He's going to be a special artistic director and do a welcome for these musicians who are coming in from 25 countries to perform, and it is going to be spectacular. He is working on some really creative things that are going to showcase New Orleans unlike anything people have ever seen. So we're really excited to have Harry Connick Jr. part of Rockin' 1000 and coming home to be part of this event.
This Rockin' 1000 phenomenon, Kelly, reminds me kind of in a really weird way of like the Savannah Bananas. I mean, it's just something that you don't see every day, right? 1,000 artists that don't spend a lot of time together from multiple countries from around the world playing music, some that are very accustomed to and familiar with, and others have no idea where that music's from, which I think is a phenomenal experience.
It is. You know, the Rockin' 1000, really, it started in 2015, and it's taken off globally, but it's never been done here in the U.S. until now. And it started as a joke. It started as a viral stunt when Fabio Zaffagnini, who is the CEO of Rockin' 1000, he had a crazy idea back in 2015 to invite his favorite band, the Foo Fighters, to come perform in his small town in Italy if he got musicians together to perform for them. And they actually showed up. And so from that kind of crazy idea, it launched this global phenomenon called Rockin' 1000. And these are not, Newell, professional musicians. I mean, these are individuals from all over the world who have a love of music. There is a retired algebra teacher who's going to be part of the band. There is a truck driver. There are musicians who are 10 years old, and there are musicians who are in their 70s. And this phenomenon really takes complete strangers and turns them into bandmates. And their stage is the floor of the Caesars Superdome. So it is already a magical experience that none of us in the U.S. have ever seen. It's very well known globally. The videos, if you watch the YouTube videos about Rockin' 1000, it's really powerful. And add to that Harry Connick Jr.'s participation, it's really exciting.
And I just learned that Ian Hoke, Scoot's producer, is going to be playing guitar in the Rockin' 1000. So
I know, we're so excited. And you know, Newell, if you want to join the band, it's not too late. We have.
Well, you know, I played the drums, but I'm going to promise you one thing. They do not want me in this band. Musically, well, I can no longer walk and chew gum, so I give it up. In fact, my New Year's resolution, Kelly, is I'm going to teach myself how to play the guitar. And I got the guitar, okay. And there's a guy on Metairie Road that has a instrument shop that he repairs, and he says, "Newell, come in, and I'm gonna start giving you the basics early on." So, if he's listening today, I'm headed that way. I've decided I'm gonna do it. You know, but
maybe next time we host Rocket 1000, you can be part of the band.
And you know, Fabio is just such an incredible spokesperson for this band as well. I mean, I interviewed him about a month ago. Yeah. It was a blast. I mean, you could just tell. You know, that he's fun.
He's the greatest guy and is so passionate. I mean, this is his baby. It's his vision. It's his creation. And we were lucky to have him in New Orleans for about a week. I know he was on your show, and he's been an amazing partner. You know, this client is based in Italy, and New Orleans and Company actually convinced them to bring this event to New Orleans and to the U.S. for the first time. So we're grateful to Fabio and his team. They are brilliant marketers, they're great partners, and they are, you know, they could have gone to any city in the U.S. And they said, we want to go to a city that where music really matters, where it's powerful, and where we can have this, you know, iconic performance in a very iconic building, the floor of the Caesars Superdome, if you think about all the great moments that have happened there. Fabio was fantastic, and the band is solidified. So the band's members have been selected. They are in the rehearsal process right now. They're doing online rehearsals, and then a couple days prior to the January 31st show, they'll be in New Orleans rehearsing live. But we want people to buy tickets to come and watch the band. That's where there's a lot of opportunity to come and see this. And what Harry Connick is planning is going to make it even more spectacular and really make it something that not only, you know, only in the USA, but only in New Orleans can this be done.
So are tickets on sale now?
There are. Tickets are on sale now. They're as low as $25. You can get them on Ticketmaster or neworleans.com/rockin1000. We want people to fill the Superdome and see this. It's never something we've never seen before. And if you think about 1,000 musicians performing in unison, it is extremely powerful. And the moments that are created and the friendships that are created, it's something that we're just really excited to be a part of and really honored that they're choosing New Orleans for this, for their U.S. debut.
And if you would remind us of the date, I wrote it down and now I can't find it in my notes. I'm throwing papers around.
January 31st in the evening at the Caesars Superdome.
January 31st.
And Harry Connick will be up first. So you want to get there on time. And he's excited to be part of this. We've been working with his team and he's going to really add a whole new dimension to this. We're very excited and honored for his participation as well.
What a great entree right into Mardi Gras right afterwards, too, right?
It is. It's in the, you know, just early part of Mardi Gras. So we're hoping some folks may stick around in the city. People are coming from 25 countries for this event. And so this is, again, a great way for people that maybe haven't been to New Orleans before to experience our culture, and we'll hopefully create some new ambassadors from all of these musicians who will be with us.
So let's get to a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about 2025 in review, which were the top 10 events for the city of New Orleans and its tourism industry. We are visiting with Kelly Schultz, Senior VP of Communications and PR with New Orleans and Company. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Kelly Schultz, Senior VP of Communications and PR with New Orleans and Company. And I always love talking with Kelly because we talk about all of the fun things that come to the city and the economic impact that they have on our city. And as we look back upon 2025, Kelly, a lot of great things happened.
We did. A lot of great things happened. You know, we obviously started the year, however, on a very tragic note with the terrorist attack. And we continue to mourn those victims. And we were happy to see the memorial that was done so beautifully this year with Second Line in the Sky in the first 300 blocks of Bourbon Street. That was something created by her vision, Katie Kasbarian, of Arno's Restaurant. She had the idea to do this. And I think it's a really beautiful memorial that was done. It was done with the victims' families. And we hope that this will be an annual tradition. Not only is it a beautiful light display during the holidays, but it gives people an opportunity to never forget what happened on that day and to always honor the victims and thank the first responders who, if it were not for them, they saved so many lives on that horrible day. So we started the year on a very tragic note, but considering that, we were able to rally as a community and have some big wins in 2025 as well. If you look at just hosting a Super Bowl and hosting a Mardi Gras weeks after the terrorist attack, bringing in 22,000 automobile dealers for a convention in the middle of a historic snowstorm. I mean, there were some moments that we were like, oh my goodness, we can't even believe this, but we did it. And there were many, many moments that put us in a very good position in 2025.
Yeah, so we start off with the Super Bowl, $1.25 billion in total economic activities statewide. that's an event that generates so much in so many both direct and indirect ways, right?
That's right. I mean, the Super Bowl was such a victory. You know, we always say that the Eagles may have won the game, but the real winner, we think, was New Orleans. If you think about the jobs created, the economic impact, the fact that we hosted so many people from all over the world and did so safely and successfully, the city looked beautiful, and it was very high viewership as well. You know, one of the most watched games ever for the Super Bowl. And, of course, it was our 11th time hosting. So no other city has done that other than Miami. And we very much look forward to having an opportunity to bid again for 2031, which was announced yesterday. So Super Bowl was just a great moment. And we had the opportunity, in addition to all of the teams and the fans and all the VIPs and corporate sponsors in town, there were 6,000 journalists here. And so our team at New Orleans and Company had a chance to work with them. And those are now great ambassadors for our city. And we got to help tell stories about our culture and why we're built to host events like Super Bowl.
And you guys hosted us on Media Row, and we are very grateful for that opportunity. It was a blast. It really was. It was a lot of fun, well run. It was a great job and just a lot of fun and opportunities to meet, as you guys did, journalists from all over the world.
Yes. And, you know, Jay Cicero and his team are the best at doing these events, and it was great to partner with them. The media party at Mardi Gras World, people are still talking about how amazing that was. So, you know, I've heard several people say, and I heard this at the Super Bowl that we hosted back in 2013 also, so many people have said, I wish we can do Super Bowl in New Orleans every year.
Yeah, I heard that a lot.
Obviously not an option, but, you know, in terms of our mild weather, how walkable we are, the fact that we have such hospitality expertise and create these incredible, unforgettable moments like we did for that media party. You know, all of you think about Mrs. Benson's event at City Park. There's so many things that go on throughout the city that we can just really shine in what we do best, which is putting on first class events.
The next item I'd like to talk about is something I would have never guessed would have been in the top 10 accomplishments for the year, but it's actually growing, which is great news, is the Amtrak Mardi Gras service.
Yes, another highlight of 25. In August, we were able to launch the Amtrak Mardi Gras train service for the first time in 20 years, and that connects New Orleans to Mobile, Alabama. And they make stops along the Mississippi Gulf Coast in Bay St. Louis and Biloxi and a couple of other cities. And so, you know, Walt Leger, my boss, and a number of people, Southern Rail Commission, all of our partners along the Gulf Coast have worked on this for 20 years. And we made it a reality, and we're happy to see that the train is doing so well. They've had to bring in additional cars. Many people were coming in for the day to go to Saints games, so they'd have to increase their capacity on Saints game days. But it's doing really well. According to Amtrak, it's a very successful line, and the ridership has exceeded all expectations, which is great.
Yeah, when you think about what it costs to park for a game, that may be the best deal going, is drive to Biloxi and then come in by train.
Right, and many people have chosen to do that. I mean, you can hop on the train in Biloxi, be here in, you know, less than 2 hours, walk right over to the Superdome. I mean, we talk about how walkable and compact everything is, and we even built out some content on neworleans.com that, you know, what happens when you get here and how easy it is to get to, you know, the Superdome, which is right there, or, you know, jump in an Uber, or also the streetcar lines are a great option. So people have really been doing that. You know, you get on the train some days and you see ladies in their hats that are leaving Commanders for lunch and headed back home to Alabama, you know. And so it's really, it's great for tourism. It's great for business. It's great for residents, and they, for them to be able to get to New Orleans easier. And another cool thing is that, you know, our partners at destination marketing organizations like New Orleans and Company, those folks in Mississippi and in Alabama are also promoting New Orleans now. So it's the marketing reach has really grown.
Yeah, absolutely. Next up, and I know you guys have worked really hard on getting this designation, and I didn't really realize how huge it is until you start traveling abroad, right? Do you realize that these UNESCO designations, and you guys were able, with a whole host of help from others, to achieve the UNESCO Creative City of Music designation?
That's right. We announced that at the end of October, and it was a multi-year process. We had a very talented advisory board helping us along the way, and Mayor Cantrell's administration was involved. You know, everyone knows that New Orleans is a great music city, of course, but one of our strategies is to really elevate that reputation globally, and to do so with the backing of these reputable organizations like UNESCO. And so after many years, we were so happy to announce that New Orleans was designated a Creative City of Music. And it really just gives, as you said, it's really well known outside of the U.S., and now hopefully more so in our community. It really just gives us that extra level of recognition for global excellence. We're one of only 10 cities in the U.S. to achieve this designation. So really excited about that. And it'll bring more opportunities for our musicians to connect with other creative cities. And there are other categories too. The UNESCO Creative Cities Program, we chose to go to pursue it for music, but there are also opportunities to pursue it for food and architecture. I mean, we were lucky to have a number of categories that we could have applied for.
No, absolutely. And then y'all added the Michelin recognition that y'all were part of it in dealing with that issue, which I think was really huge for the city, especially as it relates to our food culture.
Exactly. You know, same concept as UNESCO with music. We wanted to elevate our food culture globally through the third-party backing and reputation of Michelin. Newell, some people can't even believe that we didn't have any Michelin stars or Michelin recognition in our city before this, because the food here is so amazing. And so in November, we were able to announce that New Orleans was part of the Michelin Guide to the American South. So we partnered with our friends at Travel South, and also involved were the states of Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, a few others in the American South. Atlanta was part of it as well. And so we did really well. To debut on this list, Emeril's Restaurant debuted on the list with 2 stars, which is unheard of.
Unheard of.
That does not happen.
Absolutely.
And so huge credit to Emeril Lagasse and EJ, who is running that restaurant and has done so many incredible things. I know you interviewed him on your show shortly after he took that honor, and he's so humble. EJ was also named, he received the Young Professionals Award at the Michelin ceremony as well, which is a huge honor. Zazu and Saint Germain Restaurant took home 1 Michelin star each. And then we received many, many honors in 2 other categories, one being Michelin recommendations. Many restaurants in our community, I think it was 18, made that list. And then also there's a category called Bib Gourmand, which Michelin uses to recognize as places of good value. So Dookie Chase and Parkway and lots of iconic institutions made that list as well. So I had a chance to go to the ceremony in Greenville, South Carolina, and it was really nice to see our amazing restaurateurs being honored at this level. They so deserve it, and it was a really great night for our city.
Absolutely, and it's amazing how many people, and we've decided our little dining group that we're going to visit every one of these restaurants. Most of them we've been to, but there were some that we haven't. And I was able to try EJ's restaurant a couple months ago, and I can't wait to go back. I mean, we had an incredible meal, and it's just really an event. And I was just moved by how young the staff was. And I asked him in the interview, what was the average age of the folks working in the kitchen? I think he said 34, maybe 26. I don't remember now. But it was just, they all look like babies to me.
He's only 22. Yeah, and I listened to that interview that you did with him, and he is so wise beyond his years, in my opinion. He does not sound like someone that is 22 years old. I mean, such an incredible talent, and he's so humble, and we're just excited to see where his career goes.
Now, you guys also got involved and invested big time in NOLA by NOLA, the fifth anniversary this year. Sig Greenbaum, I think, works with you guys. He's another great individual. I love his energy. I love his excitement about the city. That's been a huge success.
It has. You know, we started NOLA by NOLA 5 years ago during COVID. Remember, there was a time when Jazz Fest was postponed, I think, for the third time. And there were all these different variants of COVID that were coming out in 2021 about, things that prevented big gatherings still. And so Sig and some others got together and said, look, we have to find a way to keep our musicians and our music economy going and do so in a way that is safe. And if we can't have these large gatherings yet, like a jazz festival on the Jazz Fest grounds, then let's do something called NOLA by NOLA. You know, and the thinking is by New Orleanians for New Orleanians. And that first year, I think there were over 50 shows and 300 venues. It was all done within the guidelines of COVID and smaller, intimate venues and keeping people safe with masking and all of the things that were required at that time. But it really kept the music clubs going, and it kept the musicians employed, all the people that make their living around live music. It kept them going. And it also, you know, what was really cool about that event was all of the music clubs came together, and they all were promoting NOLA by NOLA and promoting each other's shows. That doesn't happen in every other city.
No.
This was something that all of the musicians were like, I'm going to promote my competitor music club, right? Because it's all part of this greater good called NOLA by NOLA. And they did it that first year, and it became so successful that we've now made it an annual tradition. It's part of our fall festival calendar every year. And we just celebrated the fifth anniversary, and Sig has continued to evolve this program and add new components. And we highlighted that as one of the top accomplishments of 2025 because we're so proud of it.
And to all of the folks in this industry, they've been able to distribute $1.1 million as it relates to, income for them, sustenance for them. And it's a part of our culture that we need to keep alive and well, because it is a draw. Because it's so unique of what we have to offer against other cities. You go to other cities, you don't see this. You don't see the number of live bands that we have at bars and dining establishments throughout the Marigny, Treme, the Warehouse District, the French Quarter. You just don't see it.
No, you don't. And what we have on like a random Tuesday night, I would say, is better than what some big cities have on a Saturday night.
Sure.
We just have music culture that kind of bubbles up from the streets here. And And NOLA by NOLA is a great way to showcase that. And, you know, obviously you can get great music here every day of the year, but having that 2-week focused program that we can market and drive people to the clubs. We've done it for the past 5 years. We're going to continue to do it and make it an annual part of our fall calendar and reasons for people to come visit.
We had the UFC 318, and we had a chance to talk to Dustin Poirier as well, who is incredible, by the way. And that was a huge event for us, and hopefully we can get them back soon.
We hope so. You know, having Dustin Poirier do the final fight of his career here in New Orleans, we were so grateful to him for his influence in bringing the event to New Orleans. And, of course, we work with Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation to bring that event here. It ended up being the largest growth or the highest grossing gate in Smoothie King Center history. And to have this major event in July, which, you know, our summertime is slower, to sell out the Smoothie King Arena
and hotter.
And to have so many and hotter. Yes. But, you know, the fans, the UFC fans were fantastic. They are so loyal to UFC and they travel really well. And we had a huge contingent from Dustin Poirier's hometown of Lafayette. And so we were happy to be part of that. And again, you know, when we talk about being built to host fights at, you know, UFC fights at the Smoothie King Center, same reason people love being in the Superdome for a Super Bowl, because everything is right there. You can walk to your hotels. You can walk to great restaurants. UFC also had a number of journalists come in to cover the event, and many of them had also been at Super Bowl, and we got to host them again in July at UFC, and they were so complimentary of New Orleans. They said, we love coming to the city to cover sporting events. And so overall, great event, great economic boost, definitely a highlight of the summer of 2025. And, you know, again, we hope that some of these folks will continue to come back to New Orleans, especially UFC.
Absolutely. All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Kelly Schultz, Senior VP of Communications and PR with New Orleans & Company. We'll be right back, 504-260-1870, on the Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are visiting with Kelly Schultz, Senior VP of Communications and PR with New Orleans & Company. We also had the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina in 2025. And New Orleans & Company partnered with Mindtrip, an AI-powered platform that empowers everyone to do travel differently. And it's been integrated into their website, and you can plan a trip on their website. If you want to, I would suggest you go visit their website. And if you want to find out what's going on in the city and how to best do certain things, it's an incredible website. They work really hard on it, and it shows. And also, they capped off 2025 with the launch of Vision 2035, a comprehensive 10-year long-term roadmap. And they had 26 awards or recognitions in the year of 2025 alone. The list is just incredible, and you can check that out on their website as well. I run through that because, Kelly, we have just a few minutes, and I want to talk about 2026 because 2025 is behind us now, and you're only as good as your next year, Kelly.
That's right. You know, we last year our sales team, you know, our convention sales team booked 1.7 million hotel room nights, and our tourism sales team booked over 541,000 hotel room nights. But guess what? It goes down to zero on January 1, and we've got to do that all over again. So our team is focused on making those goals, and we want to make sure that we have a strong list of accomplishments that we can be talking about at the end of this year. But, you know, of course, 26 kicked off on a very high note with the Sugar Bowl. It was a great game between Georgia and Ole Miss. Those fans traveled very well. The game was sold out. We saw hotels at over 90% occupancy and an economic impact of about $200 million. So we were happy to see that. Of course, we've got Rockin' 1000 on January 31st, as we talked about. And one thing that we're promoting is Mardi Gras this year falls on February 17th. And so Lundi Gras is also on President's Day. It's also Valentine's Day weekend, so we're encouraging Americans to take advantage of the three-day weekend and make a trip to New Orleans and stay for Lundi Gras, Mardi Gras Day, and celebrate that maybe if they haven't done it before.
You know, it's funny because President's Day is not a big holiday here because of Mardi Gras, but in other areas of the country, it is a big travel period. If you go snow skiing, you do not go during President's Week. I mean, because it's right. Like packed to the gills. But so a lot of people travel all over during that period of time.
Yeah, so we're doing some marketing. And thank you, Newell, for the kind words you said about NewOrleans.com. Jeremy and his team work so hard on that, and we appreciate what an ambassador you are for that site. We do want to make it easy for people to get information and to book. Not just for visitors, but as you said, for locals to check out restaurants and cultural attractions and things to do. So we're looking forward to Mardi Gras, getting people here for that three-day holiday weekend. And then also another thing coming up in 26 is Sail 250, which will happen over Memorial Day weekend and is centered around America's 250th birthday.
Yeah. So 2026 looks is really shaping up to be an incredible year, a lot happening. And again, I recommend you visit their website. Every time I do, I learn something new about the city, right? And that's what I love about visiting the website. Something going on, it's like, man, I didn't know that was happening. This is incredible, you know? I was looking at the list of concerts that are headed this way this year as well, which is always nice to know. A lot of varied musicians coming this way, Santana being one. I look forward to try and get tickets. Journey is coming too. So there's a Nine Inch Nails is playing, a lot going on. Robert Plant's going to play as well. So
great concerts here. We've also got the Savannah Bananas coming. Yeah. We've got the Hondo Rodeo. Of course, we have Zurich Classic. We have a new golf event coming over the summer at City Park. That's Live Golf.
Live Tournament.
So we're excited about that as well.
Well, Kelly, thank you so much for all of the hard work that you and your team, and thank you for carrying, the CEO and director of your organization, Walt Leger. He needs help, you know, every now and again. I know, I'm just teasing.
Walt is fantastic. I will tell you, he wanted to be with you today, but he's at jury duty.
He's doing his civic duty.
I know he'd
rather be
absolutely talking with
you. He is doing his civic duty, no doubt about it. No. I love teasing with those guys. But thank you so much for all that y'all do. We really appreciate it. It shows here, no doubt about it. Difference makers. Y'all have transformed this place in many different ways that people will never recognize, quite frankly. But I do. And we thank you for all the hard work that you and your team put into this effort each and every day.
Thank you, Newell. You're a great ambassador for us. We appreciate you, and Happy New Year again.
Same to you. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We're going to go to Jeff Nowak and Steve Geller when we come back, setting up the live press conference at Saints Training Camp.